And we're back. I see the Union Jack fluttering past there. Anna, props to Anna, who's doing the VT this morning. She's really enjoying playing with this box. So any minute now, there could be an explosion or a laser beam or all kinds of weird and wacky stuff as she hits the buttons. We're back. We're live. With me on the sofa is Matteo Emily. We've been talking about the DevOps process this morning today. So far, Damien's talked to us about infrastructure, as shown as Azure Stack and containers for pushing out what we're running on. We just went through with Taryn the deployment and release process. So we've got our code in production. Enter stage left, Matteo, you're going to talk to us about how we can watch what that code's doing and really gain an insight into how it's running, right?
Exactly. We'll be talking about application insights and HokiApp. So how to monitor our application and gather data to improve our applications from production, which is one of the most overlooked things during the DevOps process, unfortunately. So I work at Dell Software as an engineering advisor, but I'm also a Visual Studio and Development Technologies MVP since 2010, PSM1, and I'm also a very big community enthusiast. I founded the Taunton Developers Meetup and other communities here in the UK and abroad. So, build, measure, and learn is the title of this first slide, because the last few years' trend was moving off from waterfall towards something which is iterative, so Scrum or other agile methodologies. And so we started seeing buzzwords coming in, like build, deploy, release, continuous integration, continuous delivery, continuous your favorite buzzword. But then what happens next? Because yes, we can bring code to production, but we need to learn from this code. We don't just chuck code on production servers and forget about that. So the best way, in my opinion, to analyze what happens to our code and to approach this change is to leverage on the build, measure, and learn loop, which is a concept coming from the Lean Startup methodology. So starting with the minimum viable product of your application, start with a very small slice of features which are extremely valuable to your user base, and then measure the usage of these features with some monitoring technology. After that, you can build on top of what's successful and discard what's not successful. The typical example is the very big breaking change, the very big new feature in whatever application, which is not used by users because it's buried under 5, 6, 10 menus. So that kind of things can be shown up by the build, measure, and learn loop. This is the typical loop in software development. We have a product backlog. We work on it in iterations, so in sprints. We deploy something. And then what happens? Then we have this red line, and here we can't go through. We can't learn about what happens to our application. So we struggle to get an operational backlog because we do not have a consistent tool. Maybe we use Visual Studio Team Services for our continuous delivery pipeline, but then we use something else, something like ServiceNow, which is not integrated with VSTS. And so we do not have a consistent tool for understanding what happens to our application, what are the critical parts of the application itself. We also struggle to debug production incidents. A big aid here comes from IntelliTrace. That's a kind of technology which really helps understanding what happens. But still, sometimes it's very hard to go into our service if you're working on a cloud service and understand what actually happened for a certain user or for a certain device. And eventually, we struggle to get real feedback because often users are not bothered for going into your site or just giving you some meaningful feedback, but they just give you one-star review in your app. So that kind of things are very important, and often developers struggle with these things. So we need to have visibility on stuff which happens to the business. So is my application performing as expected? Is my business hampered by a slow application? Think about an e-commerce. If it takes 2 minutes for a checkout, it's hard that maybe some other users will come in another time. Or what about the availability? Is my application available as expected? Is the SLA as expected? Or maybe my application is down 50% of the time and nobody's using it. And most important, are my users having a good experience? Are my users happy with how the application is performing? Are my users happy about the experience they are having with their application? These kind of metrics form the base for a better, faster, and more consistent feedback, which is extremely important when you're building on top of existing minimum viable products. It's different than logging in terms that we're not talking about logging. We're not talking about logging when the application crashes, logging when a certain service is down or whatever. But here we're talking about understanding how the application or the service is performing or what are the patterns my users are following on the application itself. So we need to have some telemetry, we need to have some data, which answers questions which are relevant to the business. Why is my adoption slow, for example? Well, answers could be the application is low, the application is not performing, the application is crashing, the application is not surfacing the users, what users are expecting, sorry. So these kind of things are bottlenecks which are going to penalize the business. And you can't surface this data with plain logging. You need to have something which is going to help you with this. You need to have also visibility on user events, so actionable insights which are mapped into behaviors. What content is used, why this content is used, most important for A-B testing and multivariate testing, and not how it's used, because I don't want to know how my application is used for accessing a certain feature. I want to know why is this feature used or not used by my users. So I need to know when a user goes into a certain area, into a certain page, when this user logs on and off, and I need to have all data around my user environment. So the connection, I need to know the country, for example, because I might see problems with my application in a certain area or in a certain country, and there might be slow internet connection, for example. So these kind of things are not explained by simple logging. And also social statistics, favorites, this kind of stuff, interaction with social networks. Those are extremely important from a telemetry point of view. You won't do something like that from scratch, that's for sure, because it's too expensive to build such a platform which needs to have some kind of availability and some kind of resiliency. So you need to have an analytics provider. In this case, we will be talking about application insights for web applications and web services, and OKR for device applications. What's really important here is that the service is outside of your boundary. You don't have to worry about the service. And most important for developers, the development experience must be totally unobtrusive at first, cross-platform, and then easily customizable. Those three things are extremely important, and both Application Insights and OKR provide that. So let's start with Application Insights. It's a service hosted on Azure. It was taken over from the Azure team after in a first attempt in 2013-2014 by the VSTS team. It supports both cloud and on-premise applications. So whatever is your web application and wherever it's running, it's supported by Application Insights. It collects events, availability, custom telemetry for websites and cloud services. It could be running on Azure, Amazon, Tomcat, IIS, whatever, it's there, it can be collected. There is almost a non-existent performance overhead here. In the documentation, it states that calls are no blocking, and that's true, and they're sent in a batched way in a separate thread, so no performance hit whatsoever. This is the path you usually follow when you introduce application monitoring into your application. So you start with basic availability and performance. So you want to know which are the requests in your application and how is the server performing or the cloud hosting. And then you start moving towards application usage and custom telemetry. So these kind of steps are more of an advanced step, but in terms of development, they're just literally a line of code. So let's take a look. Here I'm starting with a completely empty ASP.NET application. So it was just created in Visual Studio. All I need to do is to add the Nugget package in my references via adding Application Insights telemetry. That's it. I'm already logged with my Microsoft account, so I will create a new resource in Azure, which will be called like my web application. I add this resource, and so my packages will be added by Visual Studio to the application. And that would be pretty much it in terms of setting up, because that's all you need. You would be assigned a key from Azure, and so whatever calls your web application is going to do, that will be sent to Azure, full stop.
So does that key identify everything that's coming from that application? So
exactly.
If I've got more than one, I might have multiple keys and I can tell the difference?
Exactly. Okay. You can also have different keys for different environments. So you can know when the traffic, when data is coming from the development environment or from the production environment, for example.
Okay.
So what will happen is that I'm launching the application here. And once it's built, I will be getting data straight into Visual Studio with the Application Insights. The Application Insights tool. So here, despite the resolution, which is quite high, I will be seeing data coming from Application Insights in a second. So this is my application. Unfortunately, the resolution is playing with me. Okay. So this is my application. I will be having some requests here. And in Visual Studio, coming from the debug session, I will be getting telemetry, straight as is. So for example, I opened the index controller method, so I just got the on page, and then I went to the about, I got the request. If I want to go into some custom telemetry, well, it is extremely easy to do. For example, in my controller, what I might want to do is to track something specific. So here, what I will do is to add application insights here. And then I will create a telemetry client. And then, for example, in my index action results, I might want to call some custom tracking. So here I can track a specific event. Launch it again, and that will be it.
So just while that's building, could you use this kind of approach to say, throw a correlation ID for each stage of, I don't know, maybe a purchasing transaction or something
totally.
Like that, so you can see it all the way through
totally.
Your diagnostics?
So this is all from my debugging session.
Okay.
But once the application is deployed, well, then we get way more. So if we move to an actual application here, this is an application running on Azure. And I created a bunch of scenarios. So also, aside from the custom event I created, in my about page, for example, here, I'm tracking the page view manually, so I might want to get a specific page view tracking. Okay. And for example, I'm treating every visit to the about page here as a potential customer.
Okay.
So this potential customer is identified by a GUID, and this is tracked in this way. So fairly easily, I have this dictionary, and then I pass the dictionary in the track event. Or for example, into the contact web page, I'm simulating a failed request. All I need to do is to create a request with a request telemetry, assigning all the properties I need, including custom telemetry here. So I might say, well, I want the local time and I want the GUID for this failed request, and then I track the request. And same story for the exceptions. All I need to do is to track the exception which is raised okay. by the page. All of that is brought up into the Azure portal here. So these kind of charts, this kind of information, they all come from my application, and they are aggregated by Azure in an automated way. So I can have all the kind of detail I might want to. So in terms of, for example, page view load time, well, I can have a look and see how's the application performing. So I might have a view of page load time. I might have a number of page views, obviously, because that's important. And I might also have some very detailed metric here.
And is that live near real time, or is that from sort of yesterday or the day before? How close to now is that?
This can be real time as well, almost real time as well, but it's usually at least 30 minutes. So you get at least 30 minutes of data, but collection is not real time.
Okay.
Okay. So usually if you want to see something meaningful, you need to have some kind of time span here.
But it's not like we're looking at this a long time in the past. It's close enough that we've got actionable intelligence,
exactly.
if you like.
If you want live data, you can use LMS, Live Metric Stream, which is this kind of experience where you will go on the application, which, of course, the changing the resolution here played games. But yeah, I can go into the application and then see into the LMS portal.
Oh, great, okay.
Yep. My actual request. So this is live telemetry, live in real time, which is, if you want, it's a brainchild of the old developer dashboard from the VSTS Application Insights implementation, which was very good. These kind of things enable whoever is looking at the telemetry to see in real time what is going on in terms of a minute. So the threshold is a minute here.
So that's priceless for building our ops room where we can
Indeed.
Really see into our application.
Indeed.
And importantly, it's the same thing, isn't it? So you as the dev are using exactly the same tooling to get your crash dumps and your telemetry
yep, totally.
As I'm using as the guy who runs the infrastructure.
Totally.
That's yep. great.
And you can also go into the performance of your application. So for example here, let me refresh this just to reduce a little bit size. Right, so you can go into the actual performance of your application and look at how it's faring as soon as it loads. Right. So And I want to see the top views, but I want to see the exceptions here, for example. So I'm going to click on the exception. And this is almost real time, OK? 24 hours, but 30 minutes granularity.
Okay.
I'm interested in these very recent exceptions. And then I might want this specific three exceptions. OK, I see that in this time span, I'll have three exceptions. Let's open one and let's see what is going on. Well, that's obviously on purpose because I do not have a view for this action result. So obviously the view is missing and that's the typical exception you get. But what's really interesting is that you can get telemetry for the user session. You can get telemetry for 5 minutes before and after the session and after the error. So, and I want to get this kind of telemetry in order to understand if there was something faulty for this time frame or for this user. So this user, for example, did a certain number of activities, did a certain number of requests, and everything is tracked here. So it's fairly easy to identify where the application is failing, if it's failing, where the application is not performing, and these kind of things. And it's really invaluable because once you add the Nugget package, that's it. You don't have to do much more. You only have to create custom telemetry wherever you want, but that will be pretty much it.
Okay.
So, what about the infrastructure? This was all about the application, but what about the infrastructure? Availability monitoring is obviously part of the process, cannot be delegated to something else, but Application Insights is a developer tool. So it doesn't have the full breadth of infrastructure monitoring tools you might expect.
Okay.
There is still something. So you have synthetic monitors, and you also have the out-of-the-box performance monitoring. So you're not left alone, basically. Synthetic monitors can be simple, so just a ping, or they can be complex. So they rely on the web test infrastructure in Azure, and you can just upload your own web test to Azure, to whatever location in Azure, so that you can simulate data coming into your application.
So I could say, okay, every hour on the hour, I want you to try and buy 3 grommets from my store and
exactly.
Flag an alert if that fails.
Totally.
Okay.
Synthetic monitors are one of the most invaluable tools you might use in this situation because they can act both as load test, realistic load test, or they can act as user scenario simulation, UAT, automated testing, whatever. So you can discover really quickly what is the root cause of live issues. I told you there is literally very few monitoring for infrastructure. Well, that's true, but there is also another offering for this, which is Operational Insight. So Operational Insight is the counterpart for infrastructure monitoring. It's another Azure service which is aimed at the operational side of the story. Synthetic monitors, in a way, share something with Operational Insight, but they're two completely separate things.
Okay.
The synthetic monitors are still for developers, while instead Operational Insight is fully for system administrator. So synthetic monitors, as I told you, can be created from a web test. You have to record a Visual Studio web test, so they use exactly the same technology, and then you can set it up. So let's see how.
Okay.
Let's say.
So that sounds like a great example of reuse there, that I can record these tests for my performance testing and my automated release testing and reuse them for our monitoring.
Indeed. So you can create a new test project here, which would be a web performance and load test project, of course.
Do I need to learn anything new to be able to use these tests on App Insights, or are all the skills that I've already got for building sort of load tests and performance
Not
tests still valid?
Because it's manual testing. So it's okay. Literally in terms of recording, you launch the recorder. I will record the pattern I'm interested in, these kind of things. Stop the recording. It will be built, but I don't really need to build it because I'm not interested into a local execution. But all I'm interested in is to have the web test file, so the web test definition. Meanwhile, the test is run locally, I can have a look at what is a test here. So I will go into my Application Insights portal, and I already have a simple test, which is a ping, literally a ping.
Okay.
So here I have some charts, obviously, because the biggest part of monitoring is charts. You need to have information, and the best way of summarizing information is charts.
Yeah.
So here, what I have is a simple ping, which is run from certain locations around the world. In this case, every 50 minutes, I will have my home page pinged by four locations all around the world.
Okay.
So which would be the Chicago, Amsterdam, Kawaguchi, and Sydney. So in order to have an idea all over the world of how the application is performing. And obviously I have alerts. So these are another key part of it.
Okay.
But here, I might want to add another test. So I will upload my web test. Complex test, which is going to be a multi-step test, which is the other option here. And I will upload my file. So here, this is it. Every 5 minutes, yeah, that's fine. Five locations all around the world, which would be the five in the US, but okay. You have pretty much all the locations in Azure. It's not really all of them because it's missing India and another couple, but it's enough to set up a realistic test.
Okay.
And so I create it. The web test is saved, and then it's pushed to the Azure locations all around the world. That's all you need to do.
Okay, and that's it. That's live now, is it? Just
yeah, it is.
Hanging away?
We will get data in a while.
That's great.
So, we have monitoring. We have automated tests. We're missing the key part here. Build, measure, and then learn.
Okay.
So how to learn from your users? Well, you need to build on top of the measure stage, because if you don't measure, you have nothing to learn on top of it. So metrics will tell you if you're going to the right direction or if you're missing something. You can analyze your application insights data in various ways. Okay, so you can understand the application if the application is going well or not. How can you use this information? Several ways. You can extend your product. So I see that my users are heavily using a certain feature in my application. Well, I know that my users are interested in that kind of scenarios. I will build on top of that. You can use this information for A/B testing. So I have two versions of my web page, two versions of a certain feature. What is the one which is having more success with my users? That's how you can do that.
Okay.
So for example, if you have a web application with two different colors, that kind of A/B testing, that's how you can do that. Or you can have multivariate testing, which is another kind of marketing testing if you want. So you can have two versions of a logo and two versions of a tooltip, for example, and then you can mix and match the four of them and see how users behave for each permutation of it.
So do I need to look at putting some of that custom telemetry in to be able to get that information out to do A/B
yes.
testing so I know which is blue
yes.
and which is pink, for example?
And also what you need to do is to leverage on the build side. So you need to have different slots, for example, in terms of cloud applications. And you can see, okay, I have my load balancer for my production application, put 60% on the production on the version A and 40% on the new staging version, which is version B, and mm-hmm. then compare the data with application insights.
Okay.
That kind of interaction is really priceless.
Okay.
And you can get insights on your users before they react, because remember, if a user reacts, usually it's because he's exasperated by your application performance or by your application usability. So it's really important to proactively understand potential problems here. You have multiple ways of using this data. You can export data to Excel, of course. You can export data to Azure, so you can create a storage blob account on Azure and then write some code against that in order to understand how the application is performing and do your custom mining.
Okay.
Or you can use Application Insights Analytics. This is a project which is internally used by several Azure services and also known as Custo. It was into the VSTS team, but it was released a few weeks ago. You will find detail of this on the Brian Harris blog. But on average, it processes 600 terabytes a day. So it's really lots of data. From any application inside resource, regardless of type, there is no limit on what Custo can analyze. It can be queried from the editor, which is at analytics.applicationinsights.io, but I strongly suggest you to go into the Application Insights portal. There is a very nice button. Press that, and that's it. It is still a preview, so it's quickly evolving. But it's still a preview, so sometimes there could be problems, there could be errors, there could be stuff which is lacking documentation, these kind of things, but mm-hmm. obviously it would be fixed. If you want two examples of services using Custo, SQL Azure and VSTS, so they have, I'd say, a lot of load mm-hmm. on top of it.
I know there were some great sessions at Build where they were working through examples
yeah.
of this that are well worth watching.
Yeah, it is a really, really powerful tool. So for example, here from my application, let's take a look at the test just before that. If it's already started.
We've got some marks on the graph down there.
Yeah, this is coming from the execution time here, but it's just for the simple ping, just because here the granularity is up to 30 minutes in the last 24 hours. So let's update it to 30 minutes. It's not started yet, and of course that might be because it's still in an upload phase. This is still a preview service, so it happens that things like that can be slower than expected. It happened to me, for example, and this is a big suggestion. If you want to set up live LMS, live metric stream, with ASP.NET 5, you need to have a specific code snippet, which you will find on the GitHub repository, because otherwise you will only see that the Application Insights LMS feature is not supported. It's actually supported with LMS, but you have to create this different snippet. You have to add this different snippet coming from the GitHub.
Right. Well, maybe we can come back to that at the end of the session.
Totally.
Hopefully
totally.
We might have some telemetry then to show.
Totally. So this is the analytics button I was talking about for Application Insights Analytics. You see, it's a separate application, okay? So it's a completely separate service, but it's still part of Application Insights.
Okay.
I created a couple of queries just to get the grip with it. So let's start with browser exceptions by the hour. What I did is collect all the exceptions in the last 24 hours, and I wanted a custom field in order to have only the hours, so an aggregate version of a chart of a result for my data by the hour. So for each hour, how many exceptions I got and for which browsers. That kind of data is easily exported here.
So to be clear, all of the telemetry that you've been gathering from App Insights has been fired into this pool.
Exactly.
And what you're doing now is querying that in real time. That came about really, really quickly there.
It is, yeah. It is. And obviously, you do not have lots of data here, but it's still fairly quick because it's not based on top of SQL or something like that. But because of the size of the data, but I believe it's based on top of the Azure storage, so which is way faster for these kind of things. You see, in this case, I'm using a make set here, which is a JSON way of exporting data. So this data can be also exposed by a JSON. There are no APIs yet, but it will be coming very soon.
Okay.
What's really important here to know is that Application Insights Analytics, you'll find this information in Brian Harris' blog post, much of the queries are not interactive. Much of the queries are just used by external tools in order to get data into another tool. So for example, here, I might want to export data into Excel or into Power BI. So I can use Power BI as a front end for my Application Insights Analytics data.
So you could write pre-canned queries in this that are feeding data out to a Power BI dashboard again?
Yeah. Okay. And obviously, you can
really
share
cool.
a link to the query in case you want to send it to someone.
Okay.
There, you can chart it. So you might want to, see a chart. Remember, it's still a preview, so sometimes it happens, but still, it works. So here, I can see that in my example, many of the exceptions come from Internet Explorer 9. Then I have all the other versions, and I have combinations of them. So I might be interested into exceptions which happen in both Edge and IE9, for example. That kind of things come out easily this way.
So one of the things that was a bit of a theme of yesterday was that the big data and the speed that we can deal with big data allows us to ask questions that we couldn't have asked before. So are you finding that as you're pouring telemetry into this, it's helping you ask questions you never thought you could ask and have the confidence that
Absolutely.
You can just say, well, I don't know, are we seeing more exceptions from people who wear purple on a Tuesday who live in Guatemala because that's the
kind
of, we never could do that before. You find that's really empowering for you?
Okay? Yeah, absolutely. This kind of tooling can be easily associated in the future with machine learning. So we can have machine learning, AI, on top of this kind of extended querying tool, let's call it this way, and build really powerful stuff.
And you had to do nothing other than add a NuGet package to your app to empower all of this.
Exactly. Another kind of query you can build is this. Give me all the potential customer by page view in the last 48 hours. You remember, I created a potential customer identification in my code. You remember here?
Oh, when they click the about page.
Exactly. When they go into the about page, they will be treated as a potential customer.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here, what I did is to get all data from the page views where the timestamp is over 48 hours ago, it's less than 48 hours ago, and where client city is not empty, because I realized that with some queries, especially from here, they are shown as Windows City. So I just filter them out, and they're not potential customers to me because I can't see from where they're from. Then I join in a very similar syntax like SQL query, if you want. Mm-hmm. I can join custom events because what I did is a custom event here. I join the custom event on operation ID, which is a shared field for these two tables, let's call it this way, in the schema. And then I will summarize by client city. So what I do is run this query. This query is going to get some data. This data can be charted. So I will know that, for example, this application has a ton of visualization for Rome, a ton of potential customers from Rome. And oddly enough, there are a few visualizations from cow and beef. So
that's really great.
Yeah, that would be a very niche targeting, but still, it can work. And this kind of queries, done this manually, can be very time consuming. It can be hard to understand your market. Because if you think about that, this could be an application for a specific target niche. And knowing where your application is most used is the number one priority for telemetry. So this kind of information is extremely easy to extract with application insights analytics.
Okay, that looks really, really powerful.
It does. And eventually, we talked about services. We talked about web services, cloud services, whatever is the web. What's the story here for Device Apps? Well, everything is around two acquisitions here. OKHub in December 2014 and Xamarin a few weeks ago.
Okay.
So application insights was then refocused on web services. You could use application insights for device applications, for whatever other kind of application. But right now, the suggestion of a team is to move to OKHub. And you will get the tooltip in application insights if you're still using application insights for device application or Windows application or whatever else.
Okay.
There is also the announcement in March 2016 that the Xamarin Insights team, which was another tooling for application monitoring for the Xamarin platform, is to be merged with OKHub. So Microsoft decided to shift their focus and concentrate their focus for application insights just for web applications and OKHub just for device application. That's extremely important because you will have the possibility of exploiting the best for the application or the device you're using. Okay, so if you're using web application, you will get the best story for web applications. Mm-hmm. You won't have to deal with a tool set which is also used for device applications, so it might have some non-optimal overhead, non-optimal way of doing things. Same story for device apps.
Okay, so App Insights is my back end, my infrastructure, and OKHub and ultimately Xamarin being fed into that is my front end, my mobile application.
No, not really. It's more a separation of type of application. So you would use application insights for web application, cloud application, that's it.
So if I was writing something that was a mobile app with a back-end web service, I'd use OKHub for the telemetry for both ends of that, would I?
No, you use OKHub for your device application, and you will use application insights for your back-end.
Okay, that's great.
So this kind of story is made to exploit the best for both platforms.
Okay.
Also, OKHub will replace application insights in June. So if you have something which is running on application insights and it's not a web application, it will be replaced by OKHub.
Okay, so there's a call to action there that you need to look at what's going
on. You will find everything in the portal anyway. So,
okay.
Why should you go for OKHub if I was using Application Insights? Well, OKHub is totally cross-platform, iOS, OS X, tvOS, React Native, Xamarin, you name it. Every platform has its OKHub counterpart. OKHub is only for crashed data at the moment. Okay, so you will get data at the first successful launch after a crash. That's extremely important to know. It's not real time at all, okay? You need to apply for the Precision program, which is their pre-release program, if you want to have access to custom events, which is if you want the counterpart of Application Insights custom events.
Okay.
But except for UWP, you will have to use this Precision program because there's actually nothing for custom events at the moment.
Right.
UWP is the only exception here. If you're using the version 4 of the SDK, of the Nugget package, actually, it will be already in. Okay, so if you want to use custom events for Android, iOS, whatever other application, pre-season program. Otherwise, stable, normal Nugget package.
Okay.
The coolest thing about OKHub is that it supports private distribution, side loading. You don't have to push your alpha application to the store. That's extremely important from a development point of view. You can automatically push built packages and whatever your artifact is, so it could be the Apex bundle, zip package, whatever, to Hokiap and use it for sideloading your applications.
So we can take the stuff that Taryn showed us in his session, and instead of pushing it through Release Manager to our platform, we can take the bits and push it out into Hokiap.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there is also a feedback platform here. So your alpha testers, your developers, can interact with the developer team. And that's fairly common where you have separations in the company, but not in terms of development team, but in terms of who tests stuff. Maybe there is an external testing group which is doing that. And there is this kind of feedback platform also for public users. If you have a set of beta testers, they can get access to Hokiap,
okay,
and they can send feedbacks. So let's see how the device application monitoring story is. I won't be too long on the actual Nugget package and stuff, because it's right-click, add the package, and that's it. Okay, so nothing different than application insights. What you need to know is that it relies as well on a key, so same story here. In my demo application, which is the Hokiap sample, which is lately customized, this is the app ID of my application.
That's an application-specific key, so
exactly.
Different apps,
yeah.
Different keys.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm using this app ID everywhere. And the only other thing you need to know is that once you are initializing this Hokiap thing, then you will use this key. That's
okay.
It. And then what you need to do is to draw exceptions. An exception will be captured from Hokiap, or track an event manually with the Hoki client. That's what you need to do in order to track custom events.
Okay.
This is pretty much normal. Nothing really fancy here. It's pretty much similar to Application Insights, because they share the same philosophy, if you want. What's really cool is the rink, how's they call it? They're really into Hoki. So they name preseason, rink, these kind of things. So this is my Hokiap UWP portal. Here I have a bunch of build numbers. What I'm doing is to use my build engine in VSTS,
okay,
package my application, and push it to Hokiap automatically. So that's why it's so powerful, in my opinion. If you look at the build definition here, what I'm doing is a number of steps. So, well, that's the same story with the resolution, unfortunately. Sorry about that.
So Taryn showed us in build that you've got steps,
yep,
and he added a custom step for Octopus. So is,
yep,
there a custom build step then,
totally,
to push into,
yep,
Hokiap?
There is a Hokiap custom task, and there is also widget,
okay,
which is available.
And are they
VSTS
in the VSTS gallery, the same, yep, as the Octopus,
yep,
stuff?
So what I will do here is to change the build version of my application in the Apex manifest, mm-hmm, because if I'm building the application, the Apex manifest would be still the same release, and Hokiap needs to have an incremental number.
Okay.
Easy PowerShell script, fairly easy, and I'm going to pass the build ID, which is incremental every time.
Okay.
Nugget restore, then I'm going to build for x86 and x64.
Mm-hmm.
Just for convenience here, because the Apex bundle would be a zip file which is going to be pushed to Hokiap. If it was harm, then I would just push the Apex to Hokiap, but it's just for the demo, really.
Okay.
I'm using a custom task here from another Visual Studio ALM MVP, which just zips a directory. So from this directory where my UWP application is built, I will zip everything. Then we'll publish the symbols, publish this zip file into the drop, and then I will push my zip file to Hokiap. You see, I put the app ID here as well.
Mm-hmm.
I have a service connection to Hokiap, which is basically a token, which is going to identify my VSTS account with my Hokiap account.
Okay.
And then I will push the path of the binary path. That's it. That's all I need to do. What happens is that in the ring, I will get my build. Let's see if refresh now. Okay, better. So I will get my build, I will get some statistics on the build. So I'm going to get user metrics, crashes per day, etc. But let's take a look at what happens for testing. So I'm going to download my application. You see, this is pretty much like a store, if you want, an alpha store,
okay,
for your sideloaded application. So we'll go into the private page for download. You'll download it. It's going to take a few seconds. While you do this, you will get the full Apex bundle. As we're talking about testing a sideloading application, all we need to do is running PowerShell with the script which is already into the bundle itself. So we'll install, if you want, my application without going through the store.
Okay.
That's because it's for testing purposes. Okay. So otherwise, I will be going through the store, but this is not It's not a beta version yet, and it's not, of course, an RTM version. So it's still an alpha version, continuous integration build. So that's all I need, really.
So do I need to go into settings on my Windows 10 machine and enable developer mode then,
exactly,
so I can sideload
on
side
app? That's all you need to do. But if you are a developer, you already have that kind of settings on top of it. So here, I'm going to extract my zip file. The zip file is going to contain the whole thing. And I will launch PowerShell. Move to my folder, and I will launch the PowerShell script. My application is side loaded. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nothing else to do. Then I can launch it. This is a very simple application, two button. The application which is on GitHub only has the generate exception button. I added the managed exception one.
Okay.
So we'll launch a managed exception, a trigger managed exception first.
So that's calling that code that you showed us earlier,
exactly,
that's pushing out your custom telemetry.
Yeah, the custom telemetry. If you go here into the Visual Studio solution here, you see this line of code here is triggered.
Okay.
And then I will be generating my unhandled exception. Application crashed, of course, and I won't be seeing anything on OKUP now, because data just come in when the application is successfully launched after a crash.
Okay.
So I'm going to reopen it, and in a few seconds, I will see data coming in. So let's see. Here it comes, 12:55. This is it. There's one very important thing to know about OKUP is that at first, what you get is the raw crash. Okay? So you will literally get the raw crash information here. You see, you also do not have stack trace. After a while, this data is processed. So you get stack trace, you get even the line of code, if you get the symbols, where the application crashed.
Okay.
So that kind of thing is extremely important. Let's see if it's updated. Not yet. But it takes a while to process because it's asynchronous. But as I already had some crashes, so I should be able to see some older data. Here it is. Let's see some older data.
So all that information will be available to me in HockeyUp. I'm just basically going to give it a chance to catch up and process all the stuff that it's just got.
Is that it's dependent on the application launching and sending data to HockeyUp, and it's dependent on the fact that it needs to be processed on OKUP as well. So here, let's see if it's updated as of yet. Not yet. Probably enough. Connected with this one. But anyway, I will see data here, and I will see the top affected operating system, devices, and things like that. I have the trace now. You see, I have the raw trace at the moment, and then I will get the full stack trace. And it just takes a few seconds, a few minutes sometimes to process it, but it's fine. And it can also be integrated with VSTS or whatever other backtracker. I didn't configure anything by now, but this is the list of services you can integrate it to.
Okay, so you can say, well, this has crashed. I'm going to push this into TFS as a
bug,
which then feeds into the work items, and then I can get a build, which tells me which one's been fixed.
Totally.
Okay.
You see, I also have now an updated number on downloads and crashes. So hopefully, line 30, you see I got the crash at line 30 of my code, which it's actually true because my exception is triggered at line 30.
Okay.
Okay. So I can get into here, take a look, and see what actually happened. So I see that the top affected operating system, of course, is Windows 10 on a certain version and on a certain device, which is my laptop.
Right.
And this is the number of crashes. You have the stack trace, and this is the full process stack trace now. Okay. So it just takes time to propagate and to be analyzed. You get the crash log, you get everything here. You can treat this data as you want, pretty much.
Okay.
Okay. This is for exceptions, for unhandled exceptions. So let's take a look at custom data. So data for my custom events. This is still pretty much a preview because a custom event at the moment is literally event name and the number of times the event happened. So I will have a look, and I can see that data is not surfacing yet, but this will surface here.
Okay.
What you will see is the number of event count, unique number of users, unique number in percentage, these kind of things, at the number of times the event happened. That's all data you get here.
Okay, because so it's like you've got a message that says customer pushed a button.
Exactly.
It says that message has occurred X number of times.
In this case, I trigger divide by zero exception, but it doesn't really make sense in this scenario. What makes sense here is maybe getting some kind of information when there is a slow is low operation going to timeout, these kind of things. Mm-hmm. This can be reported here.
Okay.
Very quickly on the feedbacks. Talk about feedbacks. I started a conversation with myself where I said, well, the application crashes when pressing on the generate exception button, and it's assigned to myself. But this is a kind of feedback discussion way you have in Hokia.
Okay.
Let's summarize a bit, given that we have 3 seconds to go. So information from your user's behavior are the most invaluable asset you might have into improving your application. You can easily react to problems with your application by using this information. What's really important is that they are set and forget. So you add them by nugget, and they can be configured by a key. And the differentiation there is between OKApp and Application Insights is to bring the best out of both platforms. That's all you need to remember.
Okay, that's brilliant. Thank you for that, Matteo. So as you can see, our story's been advancing. So we've built, we've deployed, we've now looked at our monitoring. Gary Whittaker's coming up this afternoon to push that a bit further and talk about Xamarin and cross-platform development. And then we have Boris DeVouche, who's going to talk about open source and Microsoft, and finally Brian Harry. Before that, though, the wonderful Amy Nicholson is going to give us an introduction to how to be an IoT hero. So we're going to vanish for about 15 minutes to get that set up. Big thank you, Matteo, Emily,
you're
going to hang around in the chat channel for a little
while.
So ask your questions of Matteo. Thanks very much. We'll be back after these short messages.